Thanks, Karen. Thank you very much.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. I was listening to the news there and the member of An Garda Síochána Síochána encouraging people to slow down. There was a man I used to know, and when the topic of speed and speeding in cars came up, he used to say, wouldn't it be better that people said Ray D'Arcy is late than the late Ray D'Arcy? So his message was that you're not going to make up that much time speeding on the roads, so just slow down, take it easy. On Friday, we were talking to Dan Buettner. And Dan fronts a very popular Netflix documentary, which is called Live to 100, Secrets of the Blue Zone. I see it was number two in the most watched programmes on Netflix in Ireland over the weekend. So a lot of you watched it. And these blue zones, five areas in the world, and the reason they're called blue zones is because they have the greatest concentration of centenarians in the world. So Okinawa, for example, which is a Japanese island right down at the bottom, the most southerly point, 80. They have 80 centenarians per 100,000 people. And that's huge. So if you look at America, for example, the population of America, they have 20 centenarians, 20 people who reach the age of 100 in every 100,000 of population. That's the way they judge it. And they study these places, as they do in the documentary, to find out why people in these areas are living longer. And as you would think, as you would guess, it's about diet, it's about exercise, but it's about other things that wouldn't be that obvious. It's about connection, it's about purpose, it's about, you know, stress or lack thereof, and loads of other things. Anyway, it's on Netflix if you want to watch it. And one of the questions that came up, maybe in my head, or maybe somebody asked it on text, can't remember, was it, have we got any blue zones in this country? So I said about getting on to the CSO. Well, when I say I mean Emily rang them this morning. I had done a bit of research over the weekend and I found that there was no up-to-date statistics. The last statistics they had were from the 2016 census. And in that, Mayo had the greatest concentration of centenarians in the country. So I got out the calculator this morning anyway and got the new figures. And I'm looking at it here. And like, these are just rough figures, so there might be loads of different things that will contribute to it. But the highest number of centenarians in an area is in Dunleary Rathdown in Dublin. And that's 24 per 100,000, which compared to the 80 in Okinawa isn't great, but it's more than America. The national average is 14 and a half, or, you know, 14, 15 centenarians. That's the national average. So Dunleary Rathdown is the greatest concentration. And that could be because of more nursing homes, care homes in that area than other parts of the country. It could be that. It could be because it's more affluent than other parts of the country. It could be anything. And I'm just looking at the bottom of the table. Carlow has five. This is from the census in 2022. Carlow has five centenarians per 100,000. Fingal County Council, six. Offaly, six. And then all the other counties are in between 5 and 24. Mayo is still up there, 22. Cavan, 22. They're good scores. Louth, 20. That's a good score by comparison. By comparison to the national average, but not comparison to those blue zones, which are particularly special. Galway, 22. So there's Mayo, Galway, 22. Along the west coast there. Cavan, not on the west coast. So that's interesting. We should dig more into those. It's on Netflix, as I say, Live to 100, Secrets of the Blue Zone. And we must get somebody to talk about that, maybe from an Irish perspective, because Dan is very much America-based and he has introduced some of the things he's learned from blue zones into American cities. So we should maybe talk to somebody from an Irish perspective on that, because more and more people will be watching it in the week and months ahead. Now, on Saturday, I was out with Austin Toohey on the recovery run. This is recovery month, the month of September. So you'll be hearing an awful lot about recovery. And on Saturday, we ran across the city. When I say we, there's about, I don't know, I think there's about 50, 60 of us. And most of the people on the run were in recovery from addiction, from various things, cocaine, heroin, alcohol, other things. And they're sort of factoring running into their recovery. And I got chatting to loads of people there and I was in awe of them. I was in awe of the people who had been right down at rock bottom and managed to recover. And the whole thing about recovery is to make recovering addicts more visible to us, because there is a lot of negative attitude towards addicts. If you actually stopped and had a chat with some of these people, you would be in awe of what they've achieved in their lives. Anyway, there's an annual walk next Saturday. Claire Nocton, who's the National Coordinator of Recovery Academy Ireland, asked to mention this. It's on next Saturday in Dublin. They meet at the Remembrance Garden at 11:30, and then they walk across the city, and then there's a bit of a celebration in Merrion Square. And that's next next Saturday, I'll say, 9th September Recovery Walk. And there's loads of other things happening, and we'll probably come back to the topic between now and the end of September. It's the beginning of September, right? Beginning of September. But on the 1st September, which was Friday, 316 people across the planet, or maybe just in America, streamed this song. Like 316,000 streams of this song. Yeah. That's all I'm playing for you, because in my world, something very odd would happen if I played any more than that. Anyway, 316,000, a 75% increase compared to the same day last year. And herself, the queen of the word, beginning with C, tweeted saying, "Not yet." Mariah said, "Not yet." And this isn't the first time that Mariah, the queen of Christmas, has have to caution overeager fans from hopping on the C train too early. Because she had to say "not yet" in 2020, 21 and 22. I think they're just trying to, make it like, it's terrible that we actually have this conversation. Sorry, I apologise for all of that. I apologise for all of that. And I can tell you that the Blue Moon was in the news last week. Jupiter is what you want to be watching out for this evening. It's to blaze beside the moon tonight only. So put Jupiter into your Google machine and it'll tell you where to watch it and when to watch it. And there's a great event out in Roundwood in Wicklow, organised by Astronomy Ireland, and it's called a Starbecue. A Starbecue, you see there, Starbecue. Cillian Murphy, who, like, it looks, I haven't seen Oppenheimer yet, but it looks like he could be up for an Oscar this year. He's back on BBC Radio 6, Cillian Murphy's limited edition, and I suppose people who know him will know that he's really into music. He was in a band, wasn't he, back in the day? And he loves his music, and for him, he doesn't have to do it, he doesn't need to do it, but that would be a labour of love. Back on BBC Radio 6, Cillian Murphy's limited edition. They say we are going through an Indian summer at the moment, and I beg to differ, because we've done this before and it comes up every year. But Indian summer, I'm just looking at the etymology, the origins of the phrase. It comes from eastern the United States, or eastern America. They reckon it was attributable to Native Americans, that when autumn was as hot as summer and they could continue hunting, they would call it an Indian summer. You see, that's one of the theories. Another fact I read about Indian summers is that you can't call a spell of weather an Indian summer until after the first frost. So when you read about Indian summers, most of them are in October or November. So the beginning of September just doesn't qualify. Anyway, whatever it is, we're all loving it. 6 degrees above average. 6 degrees above average. Isn't that brilliant? Saturday was lovely. Yesterday was lovely. Today is lovely. And it's going to continue for the rest of the week. It is on weeks like this that I think that we should have some sort of system for schools. That, if the temperature goes beyond a certain number, that schools are off. Same. It's the opposite to snow days or burst pipe days. It's right. The thermometer reads 23 degrees. Out. Go on. Go home and enjoy yourselves. Don't forget to put on the sunscreen. We should have some system like that. Do Irish people still say Janie Mac as a sort of expletive? That's a question posed by Terry Christian. You know Terry Christian. And we're going to get to the bottom of that, the etymology of Janie Mac. It's a thing I say all the time now. I think it's since I had children. You don't want to be using the words, the Lord's name in vain, as they used to say. Or you don't want to be cursing. So instead of all of that, you say Janie Mac. And I still say it, Terry Christian. I don't know if anybody else does. Another saying, it's better to arrive late than dead on time. Aha, you see. Yeah, but unfortunately, road safety has been in the news an awful lot of late, and we're outdoing ourselves, which is a terrible way of putting it. I remember back in the day when, you know, over 500 people were dying on our roads every year, and everybody got together and said, this has to stop. And there was a concerted effort from government, an Garda Síochána, local groups. Everybody bought into it, and we reduced the number of people dying on our roads right down to 120, 130. We were up there in the top five in the world from being right down at the bottom. So we achieved an awful lot in 15 years, and now we're letting it slide. Why are we letting it slide? They say it's the three E's. That's, you know, this is what they used to say. Education, enforcement and engineering. And I think engineering is probably playing less and less part because cars that we drive now are so safe. But enforcement and education, a lot of people are citing, you know, the lack of visibility of an Garda Síochána on the roads. And then we need to educate people about the dangers of driving too fast, etc. So hopefully, and it's very sad that it takes a number of tragedies to bring us to this point again. But hopefully now we will have a concerted effort that will make our roads safer in the future. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. The Beat. Can't get used to losing you. When do the weeds stop growing? Anybody know? Little feckers. Constantly there. Constantly have to be picked up. 51551. Got married 19 years ago on this day. It was extremely hot, says Dee. So hot that the flowers wilted. Photographer said he found it hard to take photos outside. It's not usual for this time of the year. No, it's not. That's why everybody's remarking on it, Dee. It's not usual for this time of year. 6 degrees above what's normal for this time of the year. Now, we're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Who Done a Quiz. Two quizzers, three questions and clues. You know the rules by now. And there's a prize. And it's a two-night stay for two people in Slieve Dunnart Hotel. It's now part of the Marine and Lawn brand, celebrating its three new dining experiences by giving one lucky listener a two-night stay and dinner at local favourite, the Percy French Restaurant. While you're at Slieve Dunnart, explore the hotel's other new restaurants, including JJ Farrell's, perfect for afternoon tea, and the Wolf Bar, cosy spot for pre-dinner cocktails. And you have to see the resort's stunning new look. Slieve Dunnart is truly a landmark destination right at the foot of the Mourne Mountains. And you can find out more at marineandlawn.com. Marineandlawn.com. Here's your qualifying question on this Monday afternoon. Which music festival took place this weekend? Was it Electric Picnic or Acoustic Picnic? Which music festival took place this weekend? Was Electric Picnic or Acoustic Picnic? 0818 715 925. 0818 715 925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The 103rd Dublin Liffey Swim happened on Saturday. Over 500 participants swam 2.2 kilometres. And we have the two winners on the line. We have Ronan Rolo Dalton. How are you doing, Ronan?
Ray, how are you? How are you doing? Nice to hear. Nice to give us a
congratulations,
shout.
Congratulations. And we have, your name had to be given an R. We have Roseanne Rosie Marshall, who came in first in the women's section. Hello, Roseanne.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you. I'll talk to you first, Roseanne. So this is your 18th year, but your first win. What's it like to win the Dublin Liffey Swim?
Oh, it's incredible, Ray. It really is the highlight of our season for Leinster Open Sea. But I think with the Liffey, just given the historical significance of it for Dublin and for the country in general, it's very, very special. So, yeah, I'm thrilled.
Yeah. And this year of all years, it was sort of poignant as well as special for you.
It was. Sadly, my father passed away 5 weeks ago today, and he was an amazing swimmer himself. He was known for winning the River Fergus race down in Ennis and Clare, and he had been a diver in the army. So it was lovely especially for me to win. It was very emotional and makes it even more special.
And did you ever swim with him or compete against him?
But we have competed. Well, we swam together all the time. In fact, maybe only 6 weeks or 7 weeks ago, I was down in Kerry with him swimming in the sea. Oh. And so he swam right up until his last day. But yeah, no, he could still beat me, I think, at any age.
What age was he?
He was 79, right. A fantastic swimmer. Yeah, yeah. It would have been a very proud moment for him.
Yes.
So it was very special for the family. And yeah, it was not a mix of emotions. It was just very exciting and very proud.
And he imbued in you a love of swimming, I presume.
Absolutely, yeah. He was. That's the passion for swimming definitely came from my dad and all of the swimming lessons and getting up and down to the swimming club I learned in Mullingar Jets in Westmeath. And there's a few, my old swimming coach, Anthony Hughes, and a lot of some of the swimmers I would have swam with in Mullingar were also in the Liffey on Saturday. So, yeah, it was really fantastic. Mm. And, yeah, he definitely gave me that passion for swimming.
And was he with you there on Saturday?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, definitely. And everybody said it, so it was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So Roseanne Rosie Marshall, Ronan Rolo Dalton. Is this in the swimming community? You have to have a sort of a, you know.
Look, it's just a nickname I inherited from when I was about 12. We had a dog called Rolo, and when he passed on, he went everywhere with me. And the lads in Fernhill Road back in the day, so they just said, "You'll do. We'll call you Rolo." So
right.
It stuck. Many people wouldn't know who Ronan Dalton is, and that's okay too.
That's fine, but now they know who Rolo Dalton is. He's the winner of the Dublin Liffey Swim, and people are saying, Rolo, Ronan, that it's probably the closest finish in a long time. I watched it, very exciting.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. really unusual because... I don't know. This is my 42nd attempt at the Liffey.
Right.
Now it's just a privilege to have done one Liffey, but I've swam it many times, 42 times in total, and it's the privilege to swim in it. It's a great experience. It's the highlight of our swimming year. It's a great day out. Everything ends with the Liffey, and it's the night after the Liffey. Everybody comes together, and it's just fabulous. So. For a long time, you know, everybody wants to win a major.
Yeah.
And any major will do, but the major I wanted was the Liffey. And to be honest, I thought maybe that opportunity had passed me by.
What age are you, Rolo?
I'm only 60.
Okay, yeah.
But the finish of the race was, I was leading the race. I had a very good handicap, but I wasn't fit. And that's the way things go over years. So I was still leading at O'Connell Bridge, and under Butt Bridge I'd stopped because I was gassed, absolutely gassed. I really hadn't got any more in me. And I could see the finish was 150 metres away, and I kept going and I kept going. And then I could hear the crowd, I think, I'm still leading. And then on my left-hand side, I saw Louis Matheson of Dublin passing me. And I'm only 10 metres from the line, and I said, Rolo, don't be second again. This is your last chance. Give it everything from your socks, from your toes. So I kicked, my water polo experience probably kicked in, and I kicked and kicked, and big arm stretch, head up. And well, Louis, it just wasn't Louis's day.
Yeah.
It was my day, and it's an amazing, amazing, amazing feeling. And congratulations to Rosie there. She's another fabulous winner. It's to be a major winner is something special. You're among an elite group, let's say.
Yeah. So your name goes on the cup now, both ye.
Oh, God, I'd put it on today if I got a chance. Big letters.
Rosie, did you see the finish there? Because Ronan Rolo lost the lead there to Louis, and then he had to come back.
It was really exciting.
Yeah,
yeah, I was there. I was changed and watching it, and there was huge excitement on the bridge and coming into the finish. But certainly, it's Rolo's year. I don't think anybody could be happier for him. It was a great celebration, and then the day and the night after, and we're forever paired now, having this win together. It's something we'll always share.
Absolutely, immortalised, Rosie. Yeah. Immortalised.
and because of the. There's always a good crowd out for it, but because the weather was so good, it must have been an extra number. And then people just who were passing by were going, sort of, what's going on here? So you would have had tourists and everybody watching you.
You do. You have people on buses going, what are they doing? because they don't expect it. It probably should get a little bit more publicity than it does. That's for another day. But, you know, it is a super event. And people are really surprised, and they really get involved, and they stop on the bridges. There have been years where I knew I wasn't in with a chance. So you take it easy, you go on backstroke, and you can wave up at the crowd, and you're seeing your city from some amazing perspective. You know, I've done it, and I've had tomatoes thrown at me, and right. two apples, nothing serious, right. but just leave it, have a bit of gas.
What do you do for, in your day job? Well, you're not swimming.
I'm a taxi driver.
Oh, a taxi driver, right. So you know the Liffey well.
I know it well, absolutely. I've crossed, traversed it so many, many times.
Yeah. Now you'll be going every time you cross it. Ah, yeah, I won that
swim.
Oh,
no, swim. It's my river now.
It's my river.
And Rosie.
How long are you up in Dublin, Rosie?
I'm here, 20 years. But yeah, the Liffey, it's particularly special for Dubs, but I'm here, like, maybe not doing it as long as Rollo, but it is the highlight of the season for Leinster Open Sea, and like just the amount of organising behind the scenes that goes into it with the sponsorship and Jones Engineering, but particularly Dublin City Council and the Fire Brigade. Like, it's so safe, and with hundreds of people in the water and thousands of spectators, they really put on such an amazing show every year. It just gets better and better every year, and it's definitely the highlight.
So it's the kudos, the name on the trophy. Anything else? Do you get anything else?
Well, we get a beautiful the print of the Jack B. Yeats painting of the Liffey.
Yes.
I believe that was Ireland's first ever Olympic medal.
It was.
Yes. And so we were at the prize giving, we received that, both Rollo and I, and it's just absolutely stunning framed piece. So we'll give the trophies back next year, and we'll have our Liffey painting.
Right. He won a gold medal for that 100 years ago, back in 1923. The lads were telling me on Friday, Brian and Siobhan, who we had in just to preview the race. So well done, Rollo. Well done, Rosie. Congratulations.
Ray,
enjoy the glow.
Can I just say, and I know we're short on time. Look, Jones Engineering are the sponsors. Dublin City Council do a great job. Jones Engineering are keeping this thing alive. So we're really, really grateful. Super prizes. And I heard myself and Rosie get a Ray Darcy book.
Right, no. It's a keep cup now, but you do. Yes, there you go. What? It's the least we could do. They're in the post. Good luck. See you, Rollo. See you, Rosie. Well done. Well done. Well done.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Just a reminder about our quiz. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Who Done It quiz. Our qualifying question today is, what music festival or which music festival took place at the weekend? Was it Electric Picnic or Acoustic Picnic? 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. And we've a great 2 nights away for two people in the Slieve Dunnart Hotel. Now, if you've ever walked down Grafton Street in Dublin for a bit of shopping, you'd probably pass by my next guest numerous times. But what you may not know is the huge journey that Diana Gomez has made to be on Grafton Street. And she joins us now in studio with her cello. Hello, Diana.
Hello.
We spotted your picture in the Irish Times today on top of an article by Mark Hilliard, which is about busking in Dublin and particularly in Grafton Street. So you're very welcome. Tell us about your cello first. It's an impressive looking instrument.
Yeah, because it's carbon fiber. It's not a wooden cello.
Aha. And what colour would you say?
It's black.
Yeah, charcoal sort of black and lacquered. So it's nice. I won't ask you how much that's worth. So you're from whereabouts in Spain?
Yeah, I'm from the south of Spain. My hometown is Murcia.
Right. M-U-R-C-I-A. Is it? Murcia.
M-U-R-C-I-A. Yeah,
yes,
correct.
Just the people are looking for it on the map. And you study cello at third level?
I studied cello since I was 8 and I finished when I was 24. So a lot of years.
Yes. And you bust in Spain?
Yeah, in Madrid.
Yes. What's it like there compared to Dublin?
I prefer Dublin much more because in Madrid there were many restrictions. Like, for example, the amplifiers, you cannot play with more than 20 watts amp.
Uh-huh.
And here it's about decibels. You can't play with more than 85 decibels.
Right. And they've changed the whole thing around busking in Dublin now. You get a license,
yeah.
And you pay an annual fee. And if you want amplification, which you have, you pay a little bit extra. And then what happens when you arrive on a day with your cello at the bottom of Grafton Street?
I usually need to wait 1 hour or two because there are many musicians in on Grafton Street. So we do queues. And yeah, so once it's my turn, I set up and I can play for 1 hour in the same spot. And then I need to move to another spot.
Aha. Uh-huh. And is Grafton Street is obviously the place to be. It's the most popular.
For sure.
And you make the most money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, since COVID happened, less and less people have cash in their pockets. So more and more buskers have card readers. Have you got a card reader?
Yeah, I got one.
Right. And you have to set it at a certain level. Is that it? You know, you have to decide whether it's €1,
yes.
€2, €3.
There
euro.
Are different types or card readers. Mine is the one that you need to write the quantity.
Right.
And then other buskers use another that is, for example, €3. Uh-huh. And people just tap and they are paying €3 immediately.
Yeah, so it's quicker that
yeah,
way.
It's quickly. Yes, yeah, it's quicker. Yeah.
Okay, you're going to play us a couple of tunes.
Yeah.
We started with the one that's the most popular, which is an Irish one by coincidence.
Okay.
This is Diana Gomez, and Diana plays her cello on Grafton Street and other places in Dublin. And she's going to play her version of Zombie by the Cranberries. Have you got everything ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Just a second. Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Okay. Now, in fairness to Diana, we gave her a call this morning and she was stuck in traffic before the show and it was all a bit of a rush. So I tell you what we're going to do. I think we're going to take a commercial break and get you set up properly, Diana. And then we'll come back to Diana and Zombie after this. Now, 5 on 5, 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. We're joined in studio by Diana Gomez. She's a Spanish cellist. Who busks in Dublin, and she's going to play her version of the Cranberries' Zombie. Very good. Lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah. And did you play that before you came to Ireland or did you play it because you came to Ireland?
No, I played that since 5 years ago, something like that.
Ah, yes. It works well with the cello.
Yeah, I think so.
So tell us a little bit about the community, the busking community on Grafton Street, because we've spoken to Ali Sherlock before. You know Ali?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. And I always thought there was a lot of competition between the various people looking for attention, looking for spots, looking for time. Is that the way it is? Or?
No, not really. Because we are like a friendly community and we are kind of good colleagues. And I don't think there's competition at all.
Right.
So you just play on your time and do your job and that's it.
Yeah. You're sort of living your dream.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do it in your home country of Spain.
No, I couldn't because I was busking in Madrid, but they banned the street music with amplifiers.
Yes. And you don't sound as good without an amplifier.
It's not only that. It's also that people can't listen to us because it's really noisy
right.
on the street.
Yes,
so,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it means that you can make a living now here.
Yeah.
Do you actually make a living? Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Right.
So I'm very happy because I'm doing what I love to do. And that's what's the reason I came to Dublin, to make a living playing cello.
Yeah. And how did you find out about the different, you know, the different way of doing busking in Dublin?
Are you asking about the different?
Now, how did you find out about it? You know, so
online.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was watching videos on YouTube when I started busking, and I discovered a few buskers in Dublin. So that's why I was having a research online, and I saw that it's possible to busk with a license. And I wanted to try because I know the busking culture in Ireland is really good. And many famous artists started busking here in Dublin.
Yeah. We have a band called the Hot House Flowers. And they were originally the Benzini brothers. And they started busking on Grafton Street. And that was where they started. And of course, every Christmas, you have Glenn Hansard and Bono from U2. They have an annual busking thing. Okay, so that's very popular, Zombie, and also some of your native Spanish music. So you're going to play some of that for us as well?
Yeah, I can play now a song called Quédate, and the singer is Quevedo. Yeah.
When you're ready, yep. Bravo.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was lovely. So what's the ambition? Can you busk for the rest of your life? What do you hope to do?
So my ambition is to keep improving as an artist. I would like to play the violin and as good as the cello, but for sure I need to practice a lot of years. In a future to start singing as well. So it's just about enjoying music, yeah.
What sort of people give you the most money?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. What's the most
Irish
you've ever...
people are
generous.
Generous
yeah. What's the most money you've ever got?
Okay. So it's not like this always. I wish, but it's not. But one day, someone I didn't see her or him. I didn't see who was the person. But I saw on my cello case 100 €100 note.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's has been the biggest tip.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a delight having you in, Diana Gomez. And if people want to hear what Diana has to offer, Grafton Street. So it's mainly Friday to Sunday. Is that when you do?
Mostly, because it's when more tourist people are coming to Dublin.
Yes, yes. And what about the winter?
So last winter was a bit hard. But this winter, I think I will just take it easy and go from Friday to Sunday. And the rest of the days, I'm going to be practicing in my home.
It'd be great if they had some place undercover, wouldn't it, for buskers?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a thing. Somebody might hear us today and do that. For the moment, Diana, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Now, Janie Mack. Yes, Terry Christian was asking, do people still use the phrase Janie Mack? And yes, I do. Terry, but where does it come from? Well, Grace Tierney is on the line. How are you doing, Grace?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Good. Wood foolery. Word foolery.
Yeah.
And you are interested in where phrases and words come from. And Janie Mack, is it Irish? It is, of course.
It is.
Yes.
It's very Irish. Yeah.
Right. And where do you think, or where do people think it came from?
Well, it's one of those ones that's quite debated and we're not fully sure. So I hate to come on and go, we don't really know,
right.
But we have three different possible origin stories for
yes.
it. So I'll give you all of them. Everybody can make their own mind up on it. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to be too prescriptive about it because it's not really in the dictionaries because it's quite slangy. We'll call that vernacular. That's the fancy word.
Mm.
So the first idea is that she was a Dublin girl, one of a pair of sisters. And that caught my eye because I'm a Dublin girl myself. And I thought, oh, this would be great if I could find out who the real person was.
Yeah.
Inevitably, I was not able to find the real person, unfortunately. But as we all know, Mac is short for a whole load of different surnames. So it really is looking for a needle in a haystack, like trying to look for somebody called Mary Murphy. There's so many of them. So unfortunately, we really don't know. If somebody knows the truth of that, feel free to come forward and tell us. The second one, which does appear in a couple of dictionaries, is that it's what's called a minced oath. So a minced oath is when we don't want to say the actual swear word because we don't want to be sacrilegious or we don't want to upset kids or whatever. So instead of saying certain words, you might say sugar instead or feck. And that in this case, you're saying Janie Mack instead of saying Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's possible, and it's a very popularly held belief that that's what it is. So it could be it. There's really no guaranteed solution to that one. Mac doesn't really match with Christ unless you're saying, well, it's son of God. Mac means son of. But it's a bit flimsy.
Like, I've heard loads of ones like that, like Jeez Louise, and then sugar instead of the other SH word.
Exactly.
So we and I suppose the classic one is feck as opposed to the other F word. Yeah. So, but that doesn't explain where it came from. Like, why Janie Mack and not something else? So anyway.
Exactly. Quite a lot of us say Jesus as well.
Yes,
so why isn't
yes.
it Jesus Mack?
Yes.
You know, like
yes.
It doesn't really add up. So I think that one's questionable at best. And the third one's kind of intriguing, and I it could be nonsense. I'll put my hands up to that. But I quite like it because it fits in with a bit of Irish mythology. And given that it's an Irish phrase, it would be lovely to be able to link it to that. So that version is that it goes back to Fionn MacCool, mm-hmm. who's the famous Irish warrior of mythology. So he's our version of Hercules, having loads of adventures, constantly getting nearly killed. And his surname can easily be shortened to Mac instead of MacCool. That's fair enough.
Right.
Now, Fionn, his first name doesn't sound like Janie.
No.
But Fionn was actually a nickname. He was blonde, and blonde was fairly rare in the Irish gene pool at that point. We're pre-Viking, so we haven't had that influx.
Right.
So it's pretty rare. So in the same way that people might call somebody with red hair, they might call them red.
Yeah.
He was called Fionn because he was a blondie. But his first name was actually, I'm not going to pronounce this right, but it's like Gemna. And in certain dialects of Irish, it's pronounced very like Janie. So it's possible that Fionn MacCool was the original Janie Mack.
Right. It was spelled D-E-F-O-D-I-N-M-E or something like that. So, yes,
yeah.
You can see how it would be sound like Janie. So Janie Mac is actually Fionn McCool, right? That's mad, isn't it?
It's possible. It's possible. And it, but it's sad. Janie Mac sounds like a girl's name. So I was fascinated when I discovered that like two out of the three possibilities are men,
yes.
not women
yes.
at all.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we lost this one for the girls. We'd like Janie Mac to be a real girl, but I think it might be Fionn McCool.
Do you use it yourself?
I do, yeah.
Right, yeah.
I grew up in Dublin. My dad would have used it, you know. It's hard to date it as well, but it definitely goes back at least as far as the 50s. But I think it may well have been around longer than that.
Well, if it is Fionn McCool. I use Janie Mac every time my grandkids fall or make a mistake. They think it's hilarious. Oops-a-daisy is another one, Ray. We've loads of things we say, don't we, if we don't want to say a swear word. So Janie, I love Janie Mac. I don't know why. There's something expressive about it. I like it.
It is.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a great one, and you put a bit of emotion into it. It does work.
Yeah. So you do wood. I said it's written in front of me here. I'm like your man from the movie. Word foolery. You do word foolery. So people suggest
yeah.
words, and you go and find words and phrases, and you go and find the etymology of them.
I hunt them down, and I publish a new one on my blog every Monday morning.
All yeah. right. So
I just love getting the ideas from other people, and other times it'll be something I overhear on the bus, or you read it in a book and go, oh, that'd be a good word. And sometimes you research them and there's no real story to it. But a lot of the time you get wonderful stories about different places around the world where their words have come into our English language
yes.
or how they've changed meaning over time and the history of the people behind them that use them.
What's today's word? Today being a Monday.
This week's one was social, which is a very ordinary everyday word, but it turned out to be linked to a war in Roman times.
Photo.
Photo. I don't. I can't.
No. What
remember
did you say?
What
word did you say? Sorry.
Sorry.
It's a bad line. Sorry. Go say again.
Oh, sorry. Social.
Social.
As in
sorry,
social
sorry,
media.
Social.
Or,
right. Okay.
Yeah,
go
sorry.
On and give us the background to that.
So it was from a war in Roman times, about 80 BC, and socci were actually a word for allies. So the allies of the Romans were fighting for getting the same citizenship rights as the Romans had. They went to war for 3 years. They lost, unfortunately, but that's where we get the word social from.
There you go. And word foolery is where they'll find you, Grace. And I'm sure we'll talk again when we're looking for the origins of a word or a phrase. Thanks very much, Grace. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Bye now. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks to Anna. Niall Horan there, who played at the Electric Picnic over the weekend. And he was telling everybody that he was just a young lad from down the road. And that was his biggest performance since he went solo. So it's great to see it. Great to see it. Janie Mac, my shirt is black. What'll I do for Sunday? I'll go to bed, cover me head, and I won't get up till Monday. So there's the rhyme. I wonder did Janie Mac exist before the rhyme or did it come from the rhyme? See, these are all the questions that need to be answered. Yes, I'm sure you know the rhyme. I didn't because, see, I'm a culture, I'm not a dub. So that sounds like a very Dublin type rhyme. Conor Pope will be with us after 4 o'clock. Pricewatch@rte.ie if you want Conor to talk about anything. And the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission has carried out a survey on retirement planning. And Conor will be talking about that and other things. But Anish Toshi now in the Prefskelton and Oakdale and Marion Nihulawan. Good morning, Marion. Thank you very much. 51551 ray@rte.ie. We've two quizzers standing by ready to play our Who Done It quiz. The prize this week, it's two nights stay for two people in Sleep Dunnard Hotel. It's part of the Marine and Lawn brand. They're celebrating its three new dining experiences by giving us the prize this week. So you have the JJ Farrell's, you have the Wolf Bar, and you have the local favourite, the Percy French Restaurant. And you have to see the resort's stunning new look. Sleep Dunnard is truly a landmark destination right at the foot of the Mourne Mountains. Marineandlawn.com. Marineandlawn.com. For more information. Hello, Deirdre Dolan.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
There's a great Mullingar name.
I know. I'd be asked all the time, but no, I'm not related.
Oh, right. There you go. Right. Is it a very popular Mullingar name, Dolan?
Well, there's a few Dolans around, but I suppose my family would be more from Cavan, Mead.
Right. Okay. So yeah, not yeah. related to Joe. And would you not no. every so often just tell a little white lie and say, "Yeah, I'm a second cousin" or something like that? No, just for
laughs. I'm often tempted. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. you were with us on the 5K, which was that was a.
I was talking to you. I had my little man in the running buggy, the red
yes.
running buggy.
Yeah.
And we ran the 5K and we loved it. It was a gorgeous evening for us.
It was a lovely evening, wasn't it? Yeah. And his name is Riley.
Riley. Yeah.
Right. And where's Riley today?
Riley's in the creche and we're going to collect him now after this.
Great.
Myself and Ollie are here. We were off today. We were up doing a bit of shopping in Dublin, so we're having a great day.
Lovely, lovely, lovely weather as well, isn't it?
Oh my God, amazing.
And little Riley would be delighted to see both of you.
I'm so delighted.
And what's the plan for dinner?
Well, I suppose an Irish salad in this kind of weather would suit great.
What's an Irish salad? What's the definition of an Irish salad?
You know, the ham and the lettuce and the scallion and the boiled egg.
Yeah. And the beetroot bleeding into the boiled
the
egg.
Yeah.
And the cold beans. Yeah. The cold beans. You have to have cold beans.
Cold beans. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what we had. That's what we had back there. Cold beans. Yeah.
Oh, it sounds lovely.
So there would have been the lettuce and the cold boiled egg. That's important.
Yeah.
Hard boiled egg, yeah. And then the cold ham and maybe a bit
and
of
even sliced corned beef. Would
yes,
nice.
that's it. Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned the scallion already. Sliced tomato. Yeah.
Bread.
Yeah, yeah. And we would have had cold beans with that as well. Yeah.
Wow.
And beetroot. You have beetroot.
Oh, beetroot. Yeah. Still love beetroot. Yeah.
That's a healthy. That's a healthy dinner. That.
Oh, it's not bad. Salad cream.
Yeah. And a bit of coleslaw, maybe. Okay.
Well, that was very fancy. We never got coleslaw.
You're up against Pauline Monaghan. How are you doing, Pauline?
How you doing, Ray?
Look at you, off to Bergamo tomorrow.
Bergamo in Italy
tomorrow. Is it Bergamo, not Bergamo? Bergamo.
Yeah.
I was looking where it is. It's up. You're up north Italy.
We're near Milan. I think it's about an hour from Milan.
Yeah.
So I'm going with my three friends.
Have you
Bernie,
been there?
Carmel and Margie.
Bernie, Carmel and Margie.
Carmel and Marge.
Right.
Yeah.
And are you friends from school or where or work or what?
Well, two are my sister-in-laws and one is my friend from Dublin. She came to live in Sligo, Bernie, as well.
Right.
I'm originally from Bonnybrook, Macroom Avenue in Dublin and I'm living in Sligo over 30 years.
Ah, right. Okay. And is this an annual outing?
Yeah, we get away once a year. Now, we'd meet up probably once a month for a few drinks.
Yeah.
And just in each other's homes or whatever. But we try to get away once a year, just without the husbands, leave the fellas at home and just have a laugh ourselves. We're going for three nights.
Right. And it changes from year to year, does it? Or
it changes, yeah. We went to Spain last year.
Right.
So Italy this year.
Right. Bergamo. Is that how you pronounce it?
Bergamo, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. So we're dying for that now. We're really looking forward
to
that.
Why did you pick Bergamo?
We picked Bergamo because it flies out from Knock Airport and we've kind of says like,
right.
Knock Airport is the only airport to fly out from.
Right.
It's so handy. It's only half an hour drive from Sligo.
Yeah.
And it's just brilliant. Like it's just a small airport, but it's kind of not like the hassle of Dublin and stuff like
yes,
that,
yeah.
you know. So I don't know how long it's flying from Knock now to Bergamo, but we just picked that one and we said, yeah, Italy, it sounds like a
right.
nice red wine, a nice pizza, a nice pasta.
Yeah, there you go. And will you visit Milan while you're there or not?
Yeah, we're going to Milan
yeah.
and apparently we're about an hour from Lake Como.
Yes,
Garda,
yeah,
so we're
yeah.
going to take in a day trip to them.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant,
well,
brilliant. Okay.
Yeah, so can't wait now.
Yeah, great,
to
great.
It.
And you were ironing the tops for the evening's out, but you stopped ironing.
When I got the call, I was ironing the tops and I'm finished now, thank God. It's all done. The case is packed.
Great.
So it's all happy days, ready to go.
And have you got a secret of keeping them fresh? You know, because you iron them and then you put them in and you might as well not have ironed them when you take them out.
Ray, I don't usually iron them, to be honest with you, but
right.
it was kind of two denim skirts that would be very hard to iron if it's kind of a small iron when I get
oh,
over
yeah,
there.
Oh, yeah, when you
so
get, yeah, yeah, yes, yes, so you have
yeah,
to do
just
it.
Take
yeah,
the heavy
yeah,
creases
yeah,
in,
okay,
you know,
right,
yourself.
Right, right, okay.
Sure, we won't care what we look like after a few nights there.
Right, okay. Right, Deirdre plays Pauline. Three questions each. I give you the category and then I ask if you want a clue. If you go for a clue, you get 1 point for a correct answer. If you go without a clue, you get 2 points for a correct answer. And whoever has the most points is the winner. If it's a draw on points, we go to a tie-break question. Okay, good
Perfect.
Luck to you both. Here we go.
Thanks a million.
Right, Deirdre in Mullingar. Yeah. The first category, 2023 chart toppers. There you go. 2023
yeah.
chart toppers. Do you want a clue or not?
No.
No clue. Okay. So, for 2 points, can you identify this 2023 chart topper? Who's that?
Oh, God, I don't know. I'm just going to guess an answer. Selena Gomez?
No.
No, yeah.
It's Billie Eilish. The clue was she was the headliner at Electric Picnic on Friday. That song was What Was I Made For from the Barbie movie, and it was number one back in August. Okay, right. Don't panic quite yet. Pauline, 2023 chart toppers. What do you want to do? Do you want a clue or not?
I won't bother with a clue, Ray, no.
Okay. For 2 points, can you identify this 2023 chart topper? Damn vampire. Who's that?
Not Billie Eilish, no.
No, that's not Billie Eilish, no. Olivia Rodrigo.
No, I wouldn't have got it.
You wouldn't have got it, okay. Her breakout single was that Driver's License one, and that's Vampire, which was number one in July. Okay, right, an even start. No points on the board. Great. Okay, Deirdre, second category, Kerry actors. Kerry actors. Very specific. Do you want a clue? You want a clue? Okay.
Yeah.
This flame-haired wild rose is known for her singing as well as her acting talents. This flame-haired wild rose is known for her singing as well as her acting talents. For 1 point, can you identify this Kerry actor?
Because I lived in a town called Killarney, which is a really beautiful kind of Lake District, lots of mountains, and a lot of Americans would come, and we all had to help, you know.
Say again?
Kerry Condon?
No.
No.
Jesse Buckley. Jesse Buckley, yeah. Kerry is from Tipperary. Jesse is from Kerry. Okay. Rightio, Pauline. A chance for you to go in front. Kerry actors, do you want a clue or not?
Yeah, I'll take a clue, Ray.
Okay. This actor is known for his German roots as well as his Kerry accent. Okay. For 1 point, who is this?
I started out when I was 18, and I did a play of Reservoir Dogs in Killarney and Ravel's nightclub, and I played Mr. Pink, and I directed it totally naively. That was one of the best experiences I had, because it taught me that with enough sort of gusto, you know, things get done. And so that was, you know, that was how it all sort of, that was the beginning for me of getting into the sort of acting games.
Who's that?
I haven't a clue, Ray.
No clue, right?
No.
Michael Fassbender.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going well so far, isn't it?
I knew them all on Friday.
Let's go back to Friday. For Pauline, right, okay. It's down to the wire, very exciting. Low scoring, actually no scoring quiz. Okay, right. Deirdre, the final category, classic movie actors. Classic movie actors.
Yeah, no clue.
Okay, right. So this is very important. Good luck with this. For 2 points, who is this movie actor? Here we go.
I'm saying it because it's true. Inside of us, we both know you belong with Victor. You're part of his work, the thing that keeps him going. If that plane leaves the ground and you're not with him, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life.
Who's that?
Humphrey Bogart.
Hey! Scores on the board. Scores on the board for Deirdre Dolan. 2 points.
Well done. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
That's from Casablanca there. Him playing Rick Blaine. And that scene from the tarmac before she boarded the plane. Okay, so 2 points. Now, Pauline puts you under a bit of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of have to go without a clue, don't you?
I do. Without a clue, Ray. I give it a go.
Without a clue. Okay, so good luck with this. If you get it right, it brings us to a tiebreak situation. Can you name this classic movie actor?
I can't trust myself. I have this thing about saxophone players, especially tenor sax. I don't know what it is. They just curdle me. All they have to do is play 8 bars or Come to Me, My Melancholy
Baby. Marilyn Monroe?
It is Marilyn Monroe. Yes, yes, yes. There you go. Yeah, 2 points to you two. It's a draw today, which brings us to a tiebreak question. Well done, both of you.
Well done, thanks, Deirdre.
Yeah, well, you were sort of settling in.
Yeah.
Settling into it. So 2-2. Now, we asked you this question, tiebreaker question, before you went on air. I'm going to repeat it now for our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's answer is closest to the correct one is today's winner. Good luck to you both. Here's the question. According to Google Maps, how long would it take you to drive from Westport to Westmeath?
According to Google Maps, how long would it take you to drive from Westport to Westmead? Must be the Westmead border. Answer in hours and minutes. And your guess, Deirdre?
225.
Okay, it's 165 kilometres. And your guess, Pauline?
230.
Yeah. Your guesses were very close together. The correct answer, via the N5, 2 hours and 9 minutes.
Well done, Deirdre.
Very close.
Well done.
You're very closely matched. Yes.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Pauline, we're going to send you out a Ray D'Arcy Show Keep Cup. And as Deirdre said, enjoy your holiday. You're a few days away with the girls. Whatever you do, do it safely. See you, Pauline.
All right, thanks a million. Good luck. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, so lovely talking to you. See you. Bye.
Thank you.
Deirdre, well done.
Oh, thank you, Ray. We're absolutely over the moon.
Yeah, you're off to Sleeve Dunard. Say again.
Have you done a marathon?
I have, yeah.
We're big marathon runners here.
All right, yeah.
What's your best time?
Oh, come on. It was less than 4 hours anyway. I think it was less than 4 hours. Yeah. What's your name?
Pardon?
What's his name?
Ollie.
Hi, Ollie. How are you? And what's your best time, Ollie?
2:57:59.
Of course it is. Yeah, of course.
He just wants an opportunity to say it.
Yeah. There you go. It's your day, Ollie. It's your day.
I know you're a keen runner. I am.
Yeah, no, I am. Thanks for asking.
Ray. Thank you so
right,
much.
Good Brilliant. Luck. Good luck. Brilliant. You can go to marineandlawn.com. Marineandlawn.com. Ollie, nice talking to you. Deirdre, well done. Good
you
luck.
Too,
see
Ray.
You. Bye.
Thank
bye.
You.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The difference between Irish salad and salad was the use of salad cream, says Anthony. That's his. I think there's more to an Irish salad than just salad cream, Anthony. Conor Pope joins us in studio. Do you remember the salads of old?
Of course I do, Ray. I grew up on those salads. Yeah. And I think that listener might be right. Salad cream was an integral part of it, but it was salad cream. You know that really soggy lettuce?
Yes,
none of this iceberg lettuce nonsense.
Limp lettuce, yes.
So limp lettuce.
I think it's called lamb's lettuce, is it? Neve is our butterhead. Butterhead.
A few tomatoes, but again,
thank you, Neve.
But again, no cherry tomato vibe. No, just regular old school big tomatoes.
Yes.
Maybe a spring onion or a scallion, as it might have been called.
We're called scallions then.
An egg.
Yes, boiled egg. Yeah.
And if you're like fancy, a bit of a potato.
Right. Potato salad, never like potato
salad.
No,
a bit of potato in it. Just add a little bit of mix. But normally you'd have the new potatoes boiling on the side. No, this is what we grew up on.
And what about meat? You'd have cold ham, maybe corned beef.
Yeah, a bit of luncheon roll. Roll was.
It was out of a tin anyway.
And then there was the corned beef.
Yes.
And then there was a little
which
smiley
is square.
Billy roll. Was it Billy roll?
Oh,
yeah, the little smiley
that
face
oh,
ham.
God,
and then there was a really dubious meat that my parents used to buy called, I think it was called chicken and ham. You couldn't decide whether or not you wanted chicken or ham.
That came in a circle.
You got a circle of chicken and ham, which was like, you know, it was just basically salt, but it was really tasty salt. Yeah. Now, if I was to give my children that kind of food
Social service? No, they wouldn't. I'm joking.
No, my children would call social services.
Now, the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission has carried out a survey on retirement planning. It's front page of the papers today. What have they found about us?
Well, what they found actually is that there's good news and bad news in it. What they found is that there's a lot of support for the auto-enrolment pension scheme that's going to be rolled out next year. And I think that's really important. And it's been done in Australia and in other parts of the world whereby you're automatically put into a pension as soon as you start work. And to get out of that pension takes jumping through a lot of hoops. And the idea is that people put aside money all the way through their lives so then that when they retire, they're not going to be utterly reliant on a state pension.
What about sole traders, for example?
There's a different setup in place for the sole traders. And that's probably something it's a more complex conversation. But the basic employed person, which is the vast majority of the population, this auto enrollment system will work. And I think that's to be welcomed. Of course, it was due to come out early in 2024. Now it's going to be later in 2024. It has to happen. So that was one element of it. But it also found that there was a growing number of people aged between 45 and 54 who no longer have a private pension. Now, it didn't speculate as to why that might be, but one of the obvious causes is the cost of living crisis, and a pension is a lot of people perceive a pension as a discretionary spend. Because if you've got to put food on the table, or if you've got to heat your home or light your home, or you've got to pay your gas bill, or you've got to pay your fuel bill for your car, or whatever it might be, you know, you think, well, I'm going to worry about my pension at another point. And I think that's a real problem for people, because I think a lot of people just assume that everything will be okay when they retire. And the reality is that unless you fund it now, unless you pay yourself today at 35 or 45 for your retirement years, it's going to be a struggle.
Mm.
And I think a lot, and that's a very complex and difficult conversation to have for people. Apart from anything else, pensions are incredibly complicated. Or at least their perception is they're incredibly complicated. And I've been writing about it for years and years and years in the Irish Times. And, you know, but the simple message is, and the other thing that I thought was interesting about the CCPC study was a lot of people are hoping that their savings, their cash savings, will be what they'll rely on into retirement. Now, that's not the way to go, because cash savings are hammered on two different levels right now. So you have, let's say if you've got €1,000 saved, next year that's going to be worth 8% less because of inflation, or 6% less. But you're not going to get, or you're going to get very little by way of interest on that, okay? Whereas if you had €1,000 and you put it into your pension, you get tax relief when the money's going into your pension pot, because you get a 40% tax relief on that. You also get tax relief when it's in the pension pot growing, because over time, the investment as it grows, you don't pay any tax on that like you do on deposit, dirt tax or whatever it might be. And then when your pension matures, you can take a big chunk of that money out tax free. So it's the most tax efficient thing that exists in our country. And a lot of younger men in particular get really excited by the talk of cryptocurrencies and all that stuff and say, oh, I'm going to invest in Bitcoin or Ether or whatever these nonsensical made up money currencies are. That's a really foolish approach to take, because here's a system which effectively doubles your money.
Yeah, but it's not sexy. It's quite boring. And a lot of people's eyes glaze over when you talk about pensions.
And it shouldn't, because we, as I say, the state pension is not going to be enough for a lot of people. And the other thing that was highlighted by the report, I thought that was interesting, was that we're living at a time now where, like, when you and I were growing up, the model was you would buy a home, you'd live in the home, you'd spend 30 years clearing your mortgage, and then by the time you hit retirement, you would be mortgage free. Mm. An awful lot of people now, as a result of the housing crisis, are not doing that. So they're going to be renting in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond. And then the question is, how do you fund that rent?
Because or a mortgage into your retirement years as well. Yeah.
But yeah, so let's say if you're paying €2,000 a month for your rent for a house in Dublin right now, like, you might have a job and that's fine, but when you retire, if you don't have a pension, how are you going to pay the €2,000 a month? And I think it's the kind of conversation and it's kind of thought process that people in their 30s and 40s need to have now, because it is going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's not a cheery enough.
No, it's not. It's
but
not
the advantage is that it's incredibly, incredibly tax efficient.
To have a pension.
Yeah.
And the sooner you do it, the bigger the payoff.
Yeah. Well, actually, somebody was asking me today, when should I start a pension? And the only answer is like 10 years ago, which is, of course, not much good to anybody. But the answer is now.
Yeah.
And then the other question is, how much should I put in? Whatever you can afford.
As much as you can afford. OK. Right. Pricewatch@rte.ie. Dear Conor, I recently booked my car into the Blue Car Park in Dublin Airport for a week beginning September 9th for €88. This evening, I sought to amend the booking to arrive 1 hour earlier, 5 a.m. rather than 6 a.m. To my disbelief, the DAA are charging me an extra €19 for this. Is there anywhere I can appeal this? For example, the Aviation Regulator's Office.
Yeah, when I read this message, I thought, oh my God, surely this must be the most high-priced parking in Ireland, if not the world. €19 for an hour's additional parking is absolutely outrageous. But it feeds into a story that has been running across Dublin Airport for quite some time, because the DAA have introduced, but this thing called a dynamic pricing model. Now, I cannot understand how a dynamic pricing model for parking should exist.
Supply and demand, that's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying. But imagine, right? So the way it works is you pay €20 a day. These aren't the right figures. So you pay €20 a day for your parking. And then if there's really high demand, that price might double to €40. But that would be like going to Jervis Street or the ILAC Centre car park and having, you know, it's like it's normally €360 an hour, but now it's going to be €760 because it's Christmas Eve. Dynamic pricing does not exist in other car parks. So I struggle to understand why it exists in Dublin Airport car park. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, the price of the parking should be the price of the parking, whether or not you're booking it 2 days in advance, 2 months in advance or 2 years in advance.
But if you book in advance, you get a price. That doesn't vary.
Yeah, if you book in advance. But yes. But it only doesn't vary if there's the spaces available.
Okay.
So let's say, look, because it's all about the supply and demand, as you say. So if the demand is there, the price goes up.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be like that.
But it means that two people parking their cars in the car park can pay two different prices.
Completely different prices. Yes. Wildly different prices. But anyway, okay. So I was like, €19 for an hour, even by any standards, that's wildly excessive. So I did contact the DAA on our listeners' behalf, and they did send us a statement, and they said, well, we offer a grace period either side of a booking in our long-term car parks to allow for the potential of an early arrival or delayed returns. So it was not necessary in this instance for this guest to change their booking from 6 a.m. to 5 a.m. Details of this grace period are included within the car park section of our website, and as a gesture of goodwill, we will be happy to refund the additional payment made by the passengers on this occasion. So I suppose the answer to that question is, if you've booked a day's parking or 2 days parking and you've gone from 6 to 6 and you decide, oh, maybe I should head to the airport a little bit earlier, there is a period of grace.
How long is that?
They said a period of grace. They didn't say it was a specific time. But my reading of the statement is that it would cover the first hour.
Okay. So would you run the risk of arriving at 5 o'clock and being not allowed into the car park?
Until
6.
Yeah, well, if that...
But you wouldn't.
No, but nobody would take that risk. And if that does happen to any of your listeners, I'd love to hear that. Or if other listeners have found themselves in a position where they've realised they would like to...
So you've just got that statement there.
That's the statement.
You've just arrived just there now.
Yesterday.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. No, because a period of grace, I would like the specifics of that, wouldn't you?
As in, is it an hour?
Yes.
Is it an hour 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, but do you know what? I could always go back to them and say, what is that period of grace? And I can bring it to your attention next week.
Yeah, if you would please, because and then nobody knew that, and it's probably in the small print.
Well, actually,
on the website.
Do you know what? I might. It could be in the small print on the website.
Yes, yeah.
And I would imagine that, you know, given the nature of an airport, it's really, really possible that somebody will be an hour or 2 hours late. So it's not like the period of
grace. But it's automated, Conor. You arrive in your car and if you've booked it, it reads your reg and the thing comes up.
Yeah, but I mean, let's say if your plane has arrived an hour late or 2 hours late, there has to be some degree of flexibility within an airport infrastructure to facilitate that, because it's not the same.
No, the other side, on the way back, fine. But when you're arriving,
that's,
you know, because this person was arriving an hour earlier, weren't they?
Well, they wanted to book it from 5 a.m. as opposed to 6 a.m.
6 p.m., yes.
I will double check that and I will come back.
Yeah. So you're not a big fan of dynamic pricing?
Well, no, absolutely not. It's just I don't understand it. I mean, the laws of economics and supply and demand don't have to apply to every single aspect of our lives, and they don't have to apply to parking at an airport. Like, just charge a price per day for the parking, and then when people pay that price, everything's hunky-dory.
PriceWatch@rte.ie if you want Conor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. Conor, thank you very much. That's it from us for this Monday. Sarah and Cormac are on the way with Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your sunny Sunday, even Monday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.